This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Several weeks ago, the media was flooded with news about the execution of Saddam Hussein. Now, as you know, Saddam was sentenced to death by hanging. But let's imagine there would have been a double execution that day, with two men being hanged at the same time and place. Visualize Saddam and another man standing on the gallows together. Just moments before they drop to their deaths, Saddam looks over at the other condemned man and he says to him, "Please forgive me all my horrible sins, and when you come back to life, bring me back to life too, so that I can live with you forever." Now, what would the onlookers think if they heard Saddam say such a thing to the other condemned criminal? First, they'd think Saddam had a lot of nerve to be asking for forgiveness for so many horrible sins, especially now that he's about to die and can't do anything good to make up for his sins. Second, they'd also probably think that Saddam was insane. Why? Well, only a crazy person would think that another man who's about to die could bring him back to life after they're both dead. I mean, one dead person can't help another dead person, right? Therefore, the onlookers would conclude that Saddam had lost his mind just before his death. So imagine what the Jewish leaders and the Roman soldiers thought when they heard one of the crucified criminals turn to Jesus, who was also on a cross, and then say to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Think about it. Not only was this criminal asking to be forgiven, even though he could no longer do anything good to make up for his guilt, but now he believed that the guy on the cross next to him was going to come back to life and have a kingdom. I'm sure the onlookers thought that this crucified criminal was delirious. But my friends, this criminal was not crazy. By the grace of God, this criminal knew who Jesus was, and that's why he trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sin, as well as the hope of the resurrection and eternal life in God's kingdom. However, there's a mystery that needs to be solved. How is it possible that this criminal could come to repentance and then place his faith in Jesus? The answer is Jesus' cross words. As I said earlier, tonight we continue our Wednesday Lenten sermon series based on the words that Jesus spoke when he was hanging on the cross. We find Jesus' cross words in the four Gospels, and we've learned that Jesus' cross words are actually sermons. Jesus spoke those words so that those who hear them might repent of their sin and trust in him as Lord and Savior. And tonight we focus on these words of Jesus. "Today, you will be with me in paradise." However, before we examine those words of Jesus, we must first consider another mystery. What happened to change the heart of this crucified criminal so that he confessed his sin and put his faith in Jesus? You see, this criminal had not always been a believer. It's not as though this criminal was innocently condemned along with Jesus. No. In fact, you might be surprised to find out that this criminal also mocked Jesus, along with the Jewish leaders, along with the Roman soldiers, along with the other criminal. This criminal also mocked Jesus. Listen carefully to these words from Matthew chapter 27. "Those who passed by hurled insults at Jesus. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked Jesus. And the robbers who were crucified with Jesus also heaped insults on him. Did you hear what Matthew wrote? He said, robbers, plural. Both criminals mocked Jesus. So again I ask, what happened that the heart of one criminal suddenly is changed from unbelief to faith? Well, as I said earlier, the answer is Jesus' cross words. We hear about this in Romans chapter 10, where Paul writes, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. And as we heard in this past Sunday's sermon, it's the word of God that convicts us of sin and also brings us to faith in Jesus. So, we know that this criminal's heart was changed by God's word. Question is, where and when did this criminal hear God's word? Well, based on the study of the four Gospels, we can conclude that the criminal would have heard at least two of Jesus' cross words before he came to faith. First, the criminal would have heard Jesus say the following, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus spoke those words not only to the soldiers, not only to the Jewish leaders, but also to the two criminals who were mocking him. He spoke them for us as well. Those words of Jesus not only condemned the sin of those who were mocking Jesus, but those same words also assured them that forgiveness was available for those who were mocking him. Now, the second statement that the criminal would have heard was this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, if you recall our Ash Wednesday sermon, you will remember that when Jesus spoke those words, he was actually quoting the first verse of Psalm 22. And as we learned, Psalm 22 points ahead to Jesus' death and resurrection. So, when Jesus quoted the first verse of Psalm 22, that crucified criminal started thinking about Psalm 22. He started to notice the events that were taking place around him. He started putting everything together and then concluded that Scripture was being fulfilled in front of his eyes. Jesus was the Savior of sinners promised in the Old Testament. Simply put, the Holy Spirit worked through Jesus' cross words to convict this criminal of sin and bring him to faith in Jesus as his Lord and Savior. So, a miracle happens. This one criminal who had been mocking Jesus along with everyone else ends up being saved by Jesus' cross words. Now, once he had been saved, his heart changes. The Holy Spirit then moves the criminal to speak the following to the other criminal who was still mocking Jesus. Now the believing criminal says, don't you fear God, since we are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he looks at Jesus and he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now here's where God's love gets really amazing. You would think that a guy who sinned his whole life and only comes to faith moments before his death, you'd think that he wouldn't have a chance. You would expect Jesus to say, oh, now you want to be forgiven. Sure. Well, forget it. You should have done that a long time ago. Well, maybe he should have. But God is merciful. He reaches out and does his best to save sinners, no matter who they are or where they've been or how long they've been away. Because of Jesus' cross words, this criminal was able to trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of his sin and also for the hope of eternal life in God's kingdom. Jesus' cross words gave him the faith to believe that Jesus was his Lord and Savior, even though Jesus was hanging on a cross right next to him. You know, that teaches us something. It teaches us the difference between unbelief and faith. Think about it. What do unbelievers see when they look at the crucified Jesus? When unbelievers look at the crucified Jesus, they simply see another condemned criminal whose body will rot in the ground. However, those who have been saved by Jesus, believers, what do they see when they see the crucified Jesus? When you look at the crucified Jesus, you not only see your Savior who is dying for your sins, you also see the risen and ascended Lord who will return in glory and give you eternal life in his kingdom. So, why do you and I believe in Jesus? The answer is Jesus' cross words. That's right, my friends. The same word that Jesus used to bring the criminal to faith in him, he has used to bring us to faith in him. We would also be among those who are doomed to mock Jesus for all eternity if God had not called us to repentance and faith through his word. God uses his word to convict you of sin so that you might cry out on a daily basis and come to Jesus for mercy and also trust in him for salvation. Salvation that assures you that even in the face of death, there is the certain hope of resurrection and eternal life with God. Well, now we're ready to hear another of Jesus' cross words. Jesus had already spoken some cross words. That's what brought the criminal to faith. But then Jesus speaks something else to him. Jesus says to the criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now these words of Jesus are also true for us believers at the time of our own deaths. But the question is, what do these words mean? Well, first of all, Jesus is teaching us that at the moment of your death, you will be in paradise with Jesus. Now that word paradise actually refers to the place where the spirits of believers will dwell before the resurrection of the body. Simply put, when our bodies die, our spirits go to dwell with Christ. For example, in our reading from Philippians, we heard Paul talk about this. He said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Did you hear that? We Christians can't lose. Jesus has given you a win-win situation. As long as you're alive, you have the joy of serving others and living your lives to the glory of God. But when you die, that's gain. Your spirit will depart from your body to be with Christ in paradise. But my friends, that's not the end of the story either. You see, even though our spirits are in paradise at the moment of our deaths, we can still look forward to the resurrection of the body and eternal life in God's kingdom when Jesus returns in glory at his second coming. You see, just as Jesus' body rose from death, we will also be resurrected to live forever in the new creation. I want you to listen again to the Apostle Paul, this time from Philippians chapter 3. Listen to what he says there. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. What a wonderful hope Jesus has given us. When the time of our death does come, we can pray along with the crucified criminal, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus will say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, of course, we can't choose the time of our own deaths. The moment of our death, that's in God's hands. And until that time comes, we pray with Paul, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, when Paul wrote those words to the Philippians, he was in prison for the first time, and he was facing possible execution for his faith in Jesus. However, later, God revealed to Paul that he wouldn't die at that time. Why? Because God had more work for him to do. Even though Paul was looking forward to being with Christ, he knew he would remain behind to do more work for the Lord. In the same way, as long as you're alive, God wants you to live for Christ. And while you're living, to keep your focus on Jesus' cross words that give you hope. However, one day, we must face death, every single one of us. And that leads to our second reading from 2 Timothy. You see, years later after he wrote the letter to the Philippians, years later after that, Paul ended up in prison again. But this time, the Lord revealed to Paul that he would soon be killed for his faith in Jesus. But Paul did not despair. Instead, Paul wrote these words, "The time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing." My friends, you believers have been saved by Jesus' cross words, and therefore, along with Paul, you also long for Christ's appearing. As long as you live, you get to live for Jesus. But when the time of your departure is at hand, you can take comfort in Jesus' cross words. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Now may the